Our study for this morning concerns bringing up our children. Bringing up our children in God's way is a high priority issue in the kingdom of God. Bringing up our children in the Lord's way is how kids get a good start toward what God wants them to become. Also, bringing up our children the Lord's way is the primary means of passing on the faith to the next generation. Now, this issue of bringing up our children, you may think, applies to someone else. Actually, it's a word for all of us. This issue touches all of our lives. Now, the most obvious lives it touches, of course, are those who are raising children right now. But another obvious category, those who are helping to raise grandchildren right now. Amen? A great blessing. Also quite obvious, all involved in ministry to children. The matters of God's way to bring up children is very, very important. But there are some less obvious ways that this matter touches all the rest of us. Some of us, I don't think me, but will be raising their own children soon. Some of you are not far, perhaps, from beginning to raise children or just starting out. Others, perhaps, need to be praying for or counseling those who are raising children. Some of us should be hearing the word of the Lord on this matter and be praying about getting into children's ministry in the church family to help and supplement the parents' very challenging role in raising their children. Some among us never received as a child the kind of truths we're going to read about this morning. And as you're listening, you're realizing that you're beginning to get in God's family the things that you didn't get as a child. And for all of us, these words are reminders of how God is now raising each of us as His kids. He has the biggest family of all. Bringing up our children, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This word is addressed to fathers. In most cultures, ours as well, most people, when you talk about bringing up children, start talking and thinking about mothers. And it's probably true that no one in the family has a more profound impact on the children than mom does. And yet in the Word of God, the instruction is given here to fathers. Now obviously, the Word shows moms and dads involved. Chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. This isn't just dad mentioned there, mom and dad. Mom and dad have a very important role together with the kids. But the word here is, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. If you studied with us last Wednesday night concerning new life in Christ as it's worked out in marriage, you may remember that the husband, the father, is the head of the home, not the dictator, the head, the leader, and should be the primary example in the home of the things of God. In other words, the man is the one with the initial responsibility before God for every issue in the household. So it's only right that this word be addressed to fathers. If you were unable to study with us last Wednesday night, I urge you, oh, I urge you, if there's any study you can't attend that you listen to later by tape, Please pick up the tape today and study through that tape. Husbands and wives, God's way for marriage with new life in Christ is critical to the extension of the church, the reaching of the lost, the fulfilling of the plan of God for His people on earth. This word is addressed to fathers as the head of the home. We are to take the lead, to be willing to accept the primary responsibility for the raising of children. And we are told, fathers, that we are not to provoke our children to anger. We're not to exasperate them. We're not to drive them into frustration or drive them into rage. Now, there are many, many, many ways that we can stumble and do this. By our unreasonableness, we can exasperate our children. Children are to obey their parents, but before God, parents are to have a godly reason behind what they're doing. And our unreasonableness can drive our kids crazy. Our inconsistency also can drive them to frustration. Extremes, probably of any kind, can drive them to distraction and to discouragement. An extreme harshness with the kids can frustrate them, as well as an extreme leniency. They don't even know where they stand or what's right or wrong. It can also frustrate kids. A domineering, oppressive hand on the kids can frustrate them. But so can spoiling them and just giving them the run of the world. Selfishness in the lives of parents, and particularly now we're talking about dads, can exasperate children. A lack of expression of love in our dealing with them can be frustrating to them. And of course, when we are angry or frustrated with them and out of control, that is a prime means of exasperating children. Now, a little reminder, lest we be crushed with conviction, and that is, not every fit of rage by a child is caused by their parents. They would like you to think that, and I know the enemy would like you to think that. They have plenty of resources on their own to come up with exasperation and rage and anger. But that's another matter, and they'll have to deal with that before God, and we'll have to help them deal with it. But we, dads, we are not to be the cause of their exasperation, frustration, or fits of rage. How on earth can we deal in such a heavenly way with our kids? Well, we can only do it if we are guided by the Word and filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no other hope. Guided by the Word and filled with the Holy Spirit. Only the Word shows us how to live with our kids. Only the Spirit can enable us to do it. Again, all of this section of the Word of God, among other things, is an explanation of what it is to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." When God calls us to raise our children in a godly way, only His Word can give the patterns to walk in. But when we see more and more what the patterns are, something inside goes, "Oh my goodness, how am I going to do this?" And there is no other way but by the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's no other resource that's big enough to deal with this matter of bringing up our children. Again, the things that God has shown are the evidences of fullness of the Spirit. Often are the things that take place very quietly and simply and with growing maturity and spiritual self-control and godliness. They aren't very often, though at times they can be, but they aren't very often showy and heavily external. They're just things like bringing up our children day by day around the house the way God would have us do it. Only the Spirit, fulfilling the Word in us, can do it. Now, something very clear, though, here is this. the spiritual well-being and progress of children is the parents' responsibility before God. So often, people think that the church or the Christian school or some Christian club is to take care of godly nurturing of children. And it isn't so. The Word of God instructs parents to fulfill this responsibility. Now, praise the Lord for anyone who will help us. Thank God for churches that will help us. And there should be a major help there. Though much of the help a church can give is to the parents, even more than to the kids. Though help can be given to the kids at church. And there are Christian schools that can help. And there are Christian clubs that can help. But none of those resources can replace or fulfill the parents' role. It's unique. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, we are to be bringing up our children. We are to be rearing them, as they say, or raising them, or leading them on toward maturity. It's our responsibility before God. We cannot give it to anyone else, though others can make a great contribution. Those of us who aren't raising children now, perhaps we're helping raise grandchildren. Let's give a big help, because no one can replace the parents' role and they need all the resource help they can get. Those of us who are watching others with children not raise them God's way. God wants us to notice this and see something critical is missing in the family of God and be a channel of praying for them and perhaps counseling and guiding them. This issue is not just for those who have little kids they're raising up towards maturity. All of us here in this church family can have a contribution in the life of every child here with some love and encouragement and a pat on the shoulder, a kneel down and talk a while. All the help we can give, let's give them, because no one can replace their role and they need all the supplement that we can offer. Parents are to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The discipline and instruction of the Lord. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the key phrase there is what? Of the Lord. It isn't good enough just to nurture them and help them through life. It isn't good enough just to admonish them and warn them about earthly things. It must be the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord's way of living must be passed on to our children by us. We're to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This word discipline or nurture relates more to our actions. This word admonition or instruction relates more to our words. And we raise children both ways, in deed and in word. In disciplining or nurturing or our actions or our activity with them. It's the all-round care of a child. Feeding, providing, guarding, spanking. I know it's not popular now. But God hasn't changed His ways. I'm not talking about beating. That is popular with too many. And how tragic it is to abuse a child in any way. But I can even foresee the awful day when my own little angel of a granddaughter is going to have to be spanked. And from what happened yesterday, I'm guessing pretty soon. But that's part of discipline. That's part of nurture. It's the activities we're involved in that help them. Must be done God's way. Must be done lovingly. Must be done without too much of it, but it cannot be avoided. Hugging children is part of nurture and discipline. As the years go on, grounding them is part of nurture and discipline. Listening to them. Now, there's a real important part of nurturing and disciplining children. To put it in one big word that catches a lot of it, it's the action of exemplifying before them what God's way of living looks like. Just being in action, an example for them. That's a critical part of it. That's the discipline or nurture side. There's another side, the admonition or instruction. This relates more to the words we share. We are to be informing our children of things, teaching them, exhorting them, warning them, encouraging them, reproving them, questioning them, assuring and reassuring them. As we live with our kids, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be those who are telling them of important things in the sight of God. Matters of honesty, matters of respect, of kindness, of love. We're to be teaching them about creation. If others want to deceive kids and give them a fairy tale of a big bang, God help them to come to their senses. But let's not fall for it just because it's popular. Let's tell them the truth. Let's tell them what we see came here from a God we cannot yet see, but will have a chance to stand before someday. Teach our kids about creation. You know, kids grow up kind of knowing that anyway. Romans 1 tells us that people have to suppress the truth that God made everything. And they hold it down in unrighteousness because it convicts and conflicts with the way they want to go in rebellion. You'll only find yourself confirming in the heart of a child something that they start to learn as they see things made and they make things and they look around, well, I wonder who made this. And let's reaffirm that which is being taught to them by creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. But oh, what a verbal confirmation we can give them as they grow older and older. Let's teach our kids of God's power, of God's plans, that this isn't an ad hoc, random universe. That God has design and purpose in it, and their lives are called of God toward a purpose. Let's teach our kids of God's love. Above all, let's teach our kids of God's love. But let's also explain to them what sin is, what rebellion is, and how it brings about judgment. But let's always let them know that God's forgiveness is always available in Jesus Christ. We need to be teaching our children also, and primarily, about Jesus Christ. Teach them of His birth. Tell them that story of truth time and time and time again. Let them know that God was His father. Joseph was His earthly stepfather guardian. Let them know that He was the only begotten Son, the uniquely begotten Son of God, throughout eternity past and shall be forever. Let's let them know of His life, what He did, what He said. Let's tell them of His death and be sure we explain why He died, because the world will be lying to them, pushing Jesus off as a great martyr or a man ahead of His time and all sorts of other things. Let's explain that He died voluntarily for their sins and for ours. Let's let them know that we too are forgiven sinners by the grace of God. Let's teach them of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the kids know He rose victorious over sin and death to live evermore and to save all who call upon Him. Let's let them know of His ascension. He didn't wander around on earth. He stayed 40 days and went up, gathered up to the right hand of the Father, where He rules over His church and looks over the affairs of man. And let's let them know He has promised to return. And He never breaks His promises. Now, most basic and critical in all of our admonition and instruction ministry to our children, let's let them know that knowing and trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then walking with Him, pleasing Him, serving Him throughout life, is what life is all about. Let's let our kids know that getting to know the Lord and making Him known to others is why we are here. And many, many times may we be the kind of folks that relate the gospel truth to our children. May we tell our children time and time again that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of mankind, that He is ready to receive to Himself in forgiveness all who will call upon His name. May they know that better than their ABCs and their 1-2-3s. May the clearest thing in their life be, Jesus Christ loves me, died for my sins. I look to Him for forgiveness, new life, cleansing, strength, growth, purpose, service, protection, everything. Let's tell the gospel to them over and over and over and over again. They're going to hear a lot of garbage in this world in the best of environments. And they'll come across many who try to shake them loose from the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all who believe. Let's tell the truth to them time and time and time again and be assuring and reassuring them when we see they've made a commitment of heart to the Lord that they are His and He is theirs for now and forever. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's give it to them and let's wrap it right around the centerpiece of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of His salvation. Now, in the few moments we have left, let's look at one other chapter 6 in the Word of God, way back at the other end, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the reason we want to look there is this. We want to ask the question, okay, if we see a little bit what we are to be doing with our children, let's have some encouragement on how to be about it. As the Spirit of God stirs and motivates and gives strength, what will we be doing with our kids? In Deuteronomy 6, there's a picture of how God's people were and are to pass on the truth of God to the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 5. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Now let's think of that just for a moment. That's sort of the truth of God in a nutshell. They said to Jesus, what's the most important word from God? The most important commandment. And He said, He quoted this verse or this type of truth many times in the Old Testament it appears. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's the kind of truth we should be teaching our kids. That the only right response to God's love for them is let that love win them in a complete life of love for the Lord God Almighty. Now, if we want to share with our kids that they are to have a life expressed in loving God completely all their lives and then throughout eternity, how will we impart that to them? Well, the first major step is the next verse. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. This is the older generation, we'll see in a moment, that is to reach the younger generation. These words, the truth of God, is to be on our hearts. Mom, Dad, the words of God are to be held by us in deepest heart commitment. The greatest thing we can do in our own walk, in reaching our kids for the Lord and in imparting the things of the Lord to our kids, is to be sure that everything the Lord has said is written deeply on our hearts. If they're just words we can repeat, that's not enough. It must be written on more than just our minds. Or if we know a church they can go to and hear about it, that isn't enough. What God wants to share with our kids must first of all be on our hearts. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. If we want to touch our kids, this initial step is essential, that we give our complete hearts to the truth of the Word of God. Ask yourself this. If you have children, or if you have friends who have children, that you want those children reached for the Lord, ask this question. Is this truth on the heart of those responsible to raise those children? Mom, Dad, are these words on your heart? I'm not asking if you call yourself a Christian. I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you want a good Christian education for your children. I'm asking, according to the Word, is the message of the Word of God on your heart? That is, at the very deepest part of your being, have you embraced the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and given your heart and life to Him? That's where it starts. We cannot give to our kids what is not ours to give. Oh, some have pointed at it and God has been merciful. But the kids have suffered greatly. Some have said, okay, if you want to go to church, go ahead. And God has been merciful and touched the kids, but the kids have suffered greatly. What the Lord wants is, what He has to say, He wants to write it so deeply on our heart that the very expression of our being comes out, that love for God is life itself. Bringing up our children involves a heart commitment to the Lord. Not just a commitment to our kids. Most people are committed there. Some aren't, tragically so. We should be absolutely committed to our kids. They're a great gift from God that is one of our greatest responsibilities on earth. But our motivation to get the good things of God for them cannot be our commitment to our kids. That can border on idolatry. There are parents doing good things for their kids for wrong reasons. Why'd you send your child to that Christian school? Well, he'll never learn it from me. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not good parenthood. Bow down. Humble yourself before God. Fall on your knees. And ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you, the sinner. And let Him write His forgiveness across your heart and then tell the kids about it. Perhaps some this morning, perhaps one, perhaps more, need to do that right now in the sanctuary of the heart before the Lord God Almighty. Lord Jesus, forgive me the sinner. I have never let You write Your cleansing gospel on my heart through faith in Jesus. That great hymn we sang, just as I am, without one plea, but that Your blood was shed for me. I mean, that's the gospel. You have no other hope to approach God but that Christ died to pay for your wrongs and open the sanctuary of heaven to your prayers and your fellowship. Just give your heart even right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. And if you're with family, before we leave today, tell them what you did. Tell me what you did. I'll rejoice with you. Tell someone what you did. Well, what happens then? If it's written on our hearts, what do we do next? Verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What do we do next? If we let God write the truth on our hearts, what do we do with it? Live it with the kids. Just have a natural conversational relationship in the home between mom, dad, the kids, and God. When should we deal with the things of God in the household? Well, whenever we sit down or walk or lie down or rise up, just those times, you know, we sit down to relax or eat, talk about the Lord. Go for a walk, talk about the Lord. I know our little gal is going to grow up, at least hearing a few people push her in the stroller on a beautiful day and singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." It's the truth. And a walk is a great time to share about God. When you rise up in the morning, great time. When the kids gather to eat, have the Lord at the table. Not just a quick grace in the gobble, but in the conversation. The Lord ought to be the main subject and have room. He might move to other subjects, but give Him place there. When it's bedtime, some of my sweetest memories when our kids were younger and didn't mind Dad kneeling by their bed with them, praying with each one of them, 1, 2, 3, and then let them go to bed. That's the time to do it. When you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you get up, when you lie down. Those are great times to do it. You may notice that almost says that any time is a great time to talk about the Lord with our kids. And you may think you're not a Bible expert. Listen, if you just give a little attention to God, you'll know more than your 2-year-old knows, if you're sharp. And if you just get running and going, you can stay at least about a week or a month ahead of them. You know? That's how I first started ministering to kids. They gave me a Sunday school class, and ministry began. Gave me a quarterly, didn't know what it was, but I learned to appreciate it. And every week I learned just enough to give them something the next week, and God had me off and running. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, kids. Mom and Dad want to. That's God's way. And let it be real from the heart, and they'll know it, and it'll come with power into their lives. And then diligently share it with them day by day. And you shall teach them diligently. Not haphazardly, not take it or leave it, but diligently. I love the interaction with our kids now when they want to talk about things of the Lord, and the older they've gotten, the more we let them set the pace there. But it's wonderful. You can see through the years. Wow, I didn't know this was getting through. This is tremendous. You know, and there are some in-between years there where you wonder sometimes. I know I made my folks wonder. For 10 years I made them wonder. But if we raise up a child in the way the Lord would have, God will honor that, even if the weight breaks our heart sometimes for a while. Bringing up our children. Praise the Lord, it is critical and high priority. May we give ourselves to it, and may we give ourselves to God and to the things of God so we'll be equipped to do it. And if we're mom or dad, oh, there's the job. Go for it in the name of the Lord by the Spirit. If you're a children's worker, this is what we're helping to do. If you know people with kids, pray for them. Maybe they don't know. This is why God gave them those children. Bringing up our children, not just in the individual family, but for the family of God, is high priority business in the kingdom of God. Let's pray together and sing a song of response. Dear Father in heaven, we receive your word on this subject. We need to hear it. We thank you that we can count on it as being your way, and we want to give ourselves to it. Dads, granddads, friends, relatives, neighbors, may the word get out, may the vision get out, may the prayers get out, may help get out. May the people of God raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Father, even as we think of our task, we thank you that you are our Father. You're raising us this way. You're disciplining us. You're teaching us and admonishing us. You're nurturing us, and we thank you for it. And it's for this reason our hearts cry out to you, Abba, Father, our dear, dear Heavenly Father. How we love you, worship you, and look to you. May we grow in love for you as we learn to more and more appreciate your love for us. And as you are Father to us, may we be parents to our children. In Jesus' name, amen.